And this morning it is a great privilege to invite and an honor to actually have Carolyn Hegpeth, is that how I say? Hegpeth. US born, she'll probably tell you a little bit about herself. An incredible, mighty woman of God, a spiritual giant. Really, Carolyn, it's such a privilege to have you in our church and share your heart with us. We're really, really excited. Really excited to see what the Lord has laid on your heart this morning. Thank you. Please, can we welcome her? Thank you.
Dobro jutro, good morning, good morning. It is such a blessing to be here with you and a real honor. I am honored to have some of my Ukrainian brothers and sisters here. Wonderful. Johnny and Delesti, Ma and Pa Bell. To me, I love those people with all my heart. Maritha, where are you? Over there. You know, we've got lots of Ukrainian representation here, and that does my heart good. I am from Texas. That is where I was born and raised. Woo-hoo! Yeah, boy. Now, if you're really from Texas, it would be yee-haw. I bring you greetings from my church, who release me and bless me as I go out. It is, the name of my church is Without Walls Church. And the motto of our church is the aisles of our church are the streets of the world. And we are really excited. The church is praying for me while I am here. So that is wonderful. I also work with a missions organization called AIMS, which stands for Accelerating International Mission Strategies. Our goal is to equip the church around the world to reach those who have not yet had the gospel preached to them. So it is a joy for me to be here in South Africa and see the absolute richness of South Africa, not in terms of money, has very little to do with it. It has everything to do with the people that God has. And I want to tell you, God has the riches of your country, the riches of your church, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of extending the kingdom into the world. And I want to warn you, as we say in Texas, you ain't seen nothing yet. Get ready. God is really beginning to shake our church. And when I say our church, I mean our church in the world. And I feel, you know, I was going to share this during the service, but I'm going to say it now, and I may say it again. You know, Pastor Yanni, and I want to really bless Yanni and Kat for their obedience and their love for the Lord and what he is doing. And I thank them for this opportunity. As Pastor Yanni was saying, Jesus' last words to the church. Now you think about, if he could have said last words to the disciples before he left, there was a lot of things he could have talked about, right? A lot of things he should have told those guys. But what he said was, go. Go into all the world and take this message. And you know, he cares so much about that message getting to the world, that he not only is asking us to go, I don't know if you've opened your eyes to see that he's not only asking us to go to them, he is bringing them to us. God is mixing the world right now, and he is bringing those who haven't heard the gospel to our doorstep, and he is saying, church, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are we going to complain? Those people. I hear that a lot. Those people. Let me tell you, those people are people that God loves, and he desperately desires to have relationship with them. And the only way that that is going to happen is if we, who are the hands, the feet, the mouth of Jesus, take him to them. So that's what I want to share with you about today. I wanted to tell you that I decided to dress appropriately. I have on international jewelry. I have on a necklace that says Jesus in Russian, a bracelet that has John 8, verse 12 in Afrikaans, and earrings that are from Texas. Because God loves the world, I've had the privilege of being a missionary for 31 years now. I had the wonderful privilege of being in Ukraine for 12 of those years. And I would be there today if God hadn't said, time to leave. But you know, he's in charge. He is the commander. I am only a servant. And so I went. We were so privileged to have Johnny and Delesti. I have to tell them the story. Maybe you've told this before. In 1994, when I moved to Ukraine, I was, oh, get this. God sent me over there to be the director of a pastor's training institute in a country where they don't believe in women in any position of authority in the church. And I said to the Lord, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I said to the authorities who were sending me, you've got to be kidding me. And they said the lethal words, just go and pray about it. And when I did, the Lord gave me the scripture from the book of Esther. Who knows but what you are called into the kingdom for just this time. So I said yes to the Lord and went with great fear and trembling. I would stand in front of those young men and women. We had 120 students. My knees were shaking. I was shaking all over. And some of them who were very religious and did not believe in women in ministry. You know, one of the greatest advantages, they didn't know the name Carolyn. So when they got a letter and my name was on it, I would get letters back, dear brother Carolyn. And when they came and found out it was a woman, they were horrified, horrified, horrified. And they would sit in their chairs with their Bibles over their faces to protect them from this woman. Those are my sons and my daughters. And God sent me there just because he likes to use foolish people. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's me. Is it you? If it is, you have the qualifications. Well, I went and the Lord sent me, totally by surprise, a South African who came to be the pastor of our institute, Christo Botis. If you haven't met Pastor Christo, he will be here for some of the conference. Wonderful man of God. And he was there with us for the first semester. He left because the church had only released him for a short time. And he said to me, don't worry, I will find someone else to send. He walked into Johnny's pharmacy and said, you're the one. How long was it after that before you moved? 2 months. They moved up there for 4 months, and that was in 1995. And guess what? They've been in Ukraine ever since. Because God caught their hearts, and we were so grateful that this church sent their best. I'd say that, but it was. And it's been such a blessing. I want to share, Pastor Gianni told me I had this many minutes, and he's got his cards, don't you, to show me how many minutes I've got. So, I want you to hear from the Word of God and not just from Carolyn. I want to share with you this morning about the theme, small things. It's too small. It's too small is my title today. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you have children? If you haven't had children, you've been around little ones, right? When they start walking, do they just stride down the corridor? No. They take little tiny steps and they fall on their bottoms. And you don't complain, do you? You just get them up and help them to get going again, and soon they begin walking better. But what happens if your 14, 16, 18-year-old child is still walking that way? There's a big problem, isn't there? In many ways, I find that's the problem for us, personally, and for the church. We can be content just to be like little toddlers, just kind of keeping on with our little baby steps, keeping on doing the same things. In many ways, God the Father is saying to us, come on, church, grow up. Grow up and start accomplishing what I have created you to do and what I empower you to do. We need to not get content with small things. Now, the Lord has really been speaking this word to me. Go ahead to the next slide, please. We're going to read from Isaiah 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And this is what it said. This is the Father speaking a prophetic word about the Messiah. And he says this. Listen to this. The Lord the Father says, it is too small a thing to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. Next slide. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, think about this. This is the word of God saying for the Messiah that was coming. Your role is to restore Israel. Your role is to restore the tribes of Judah back to me. That sounds like an amazing thing. And to the Jews, that was it. That was it. To be restored back to the Father and to their position as a nation. That was what they believed the Messiah was coming for. But listen to what the Father says. He said, it's too small a thing for you to do that. That sounds like an amazing thing, but it's too small a thing in the eyes of God. Now, lest you think, go ahead to the next slide. Lest you think, well, he is just talking about the Messiah. I want to encourage you. This was a prophetic word concerning the Messiah, but how many of you know that we are in Christ? We are in Christ. And that word should apply to us too. And I believe today the Lord wants to speak a word to each one of us personally and to the church together, saying, don't get satisfied. Don't get too happy with just the small things. We can start rejoicing. How many of you with children, when they were small, would give them a gift and they would get happy with the box? You know? It was a fun box. You know? The Lord says, come on. You really understand the gift that I have given you, and don't be content with just the small things. Go ahead. Now, it is very important for you to reach your own nation, your own tribe, as it were. And by the way, I'm so glad to see some people from other countries here. And it is wonderful to see the church starting to get mixed up. That's the desire of God. When we stand before him, you know, we're going to be representing every tribe, every nation, every language, every people. And that's what we're about, is getting that throne room populated. I believe that's what the church is supposed to be about. But he says, don't forget your own. You know, sometimes I find individuals and churches who are so excited about reaching others, they neglect their own. That is an extreme. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be concerned. But the opposite becomes true as well, doesn't it? We can become so consumed and so concerned with our own people that we totally lose sight of that's too small a thing. It is too small for us just to be involved with our own people. I had somebody say to me the other day, this is a lady, my hairdresser, who is not a Christian, and I've been sharing with her over the time. She said, I met another person like you. Isn't that fun? And she said, she is involved in missions too. And she said, I started saying to her, but why do you want to go somewhere else? There are so many needs here. And I said, you know what, Adria? You're right. There are lots of needs here. But I want to tell you, how many churches are there here? How many Christians are there here that can help to meet those needs? When there are places in the world today, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Do you know almost 2 billion people on the earth have never one time, listen to this, have never one time heard the name Jesus. They have no idea the freedom that we have, the glory that there is in knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are free. We don't owe that to them. They don't deserve it any more than you deserve it or I deserve it. He deserves it. God deserves our sacrificial obedience to what he wants us to do. Because it is all about him. It really is not about us. But you know, what does the Father want? The Father wants relationship. He wants to have people come into relationship with him. And let me guarantee you something. You can write this down in your book. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, did you hear that? No man comes to the Father except through me. And unless we as Christians believe that, that there is no way to the Father except through Jesus, we will never count it important to reach the world. And there is a deceiving spirit in the world today that says it doesn't matter. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We must understand Jesus came to give himself as the sacrifice. There is only one sacrifice. And as we understand that, that releases us to say, oh, Jesus, then people need to know. People need to know. So it's only in Christ that we know that. He expects us. He expects us. He absolutely expects us to bloom where we are planted. Wherever you are, God expects you to be faithful there, to serve him there, and to be his instrument there. But you know, any of you who know anything about plants, when you move and you have a favorite plant, what can you do? You can take it with you, can't you? You can transplant that plant. You can dig it up and take it and plant it somewhere else so that you can continue to have the benefit of that plant. You know, I was for 9 years in Germany, and we moved buildings. The ministry I was working with moved buildings, and one of the ladies that worked with us had a favorite rose bush where we were, so she carefully dug that up and brought it with her so it could continue to bless us there. You know what happened? Within just a few months, a young man came to work with us just for a few months, so we were kind of giving him jobs to do here and there, and one of the guys told him to go out and cut the lawn and take care of it outside. He took the lawnmower and ran over that rose bush. Oh, my gosh. Now, I know the lady who transplanted that, and I thought, son, you are history. You are history. That, oh, my goodness. So I called her in. I had to tell her. Inger, she's Danish, well, she's with Jesus now. But I said, Inger, your rose bush is gone. And she was like, I said, now, Inger, I want you to go before the Lord and ask him how he wants you to respond to this. She came in the next morning and said, Carolyn, God helped me. And I said, okay, I know the guy. I'd seen him. He was still alive. And I said, what happened? And she said, I went home and got a box of chocolates and ate the whole thing. And I said, good, good. That's a good way to handle it. But you know what happened? That bush came up and it bloomed in better roses than we'd ever seen before. You know? God cared and he brought. But listen, folks, he wants us to bloom wherever we planted. But he wants us as a church to be transplantable. To go out and take the life and the joy outside these walls. I love the name of our church. Because it means we cannot function within the walls. Too long, the church has been like a fortress. Has been inside the walls expecting people to come to us. Do you know that come to us? That come to us idea is Old Testament. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, they built the temple. And people came to the temple to come into the presence of God. But when Jesus came, what happened? Did Jesus sit in the temple and expect people to come to him? Never. He went where they were. And his command is go. His command is not come. So we have got to be prepared to have on gospel shoes. Now, those of you who can see me, I will kind of dispel any myths. You may have noticed my shoes. Gee, I can't get them up high enough to show you. See if I can do this. I'm proud of them. I've had arthritis for about 28 years, and my ankles collapsed several years ago. I was told that I may be able to walk another 3 or 4 years. That was 12 years ago. And these are specially made shoes, and I said, Jesus and these shoes keep me walking. Because my feet have been called since I was 7 years old to go in the world. I knew I was called to be a missionary when I was 7. Just by hearing a missionary speak, I knew in my heart that's got what God wanted from me. Now, it took me a long time because I rebelled against the Lord from 18 to 28. When I came back to the Lord at age 28, I was an alcoholic. And God had to change me. Now, you know what? I was sharing that one time in a Ukrainian church. Pastor was sitting up on the front row. He didn't know me very well, but he knew me some. And when I said that, he jumped at me. He said, "You were not." I said, "I was too." You know, you can ask God. But I mean, God loves to change people. God loves to take people whose lives are a mess and use them for His glory. But it has to start right where you are. It is our responsibility to reach our community, our own people. Go to the next slide. But the Lord says, it is too small a thing to stay with that. It is too small a thing. Now, let me ask you a question. How long would it take you before everyone in Franschhoek came to know Jesus? When would that happen? When would that happen? That everyone in Franschhoek would come to know Jesus? Nikagda. It's not going to happen. Never. It's not. We cannot wait until everyone accepts the Lord where we are. We've got to understand if we are faithful where we are, do what we can to reach our community, God will honor that. But it's never going to happen. So we can sit around and wait till Jesus comes before everyone in our community is reached. It is too small a thing to just major on our community. Go ahead. Matthew, verse 5. Now, this is a strange scripture that the Lord gave me for this, but I want you to listen to me. This is Jesus saying, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, when you think about the rest of the world, those who don't know God, you might say to me, "Carolyn, I don't hate those people." But I want to ask you, what is God's definition of love? Is it a feeling? Is it a mushiness inside that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy when I'm with those people? No. God's kind of love is a sacrificial love that says, even if you are completely different than me, even if you are people who hate my Savior, I need to love you, and that means I need to lay down my life for you. I need to lay down my life for you. Listen. In the world, there are people who are enemies of the cross. They are enemies of the Savior that we love so dearly, but He is not their enemy. And we are to love them by laying down our lives for them. That is the love of God, to lay down our lives for those who don't love us, for those who don't love Him. So when He says, your enemies, I don't think He's just talking about people that hate you. Listen, it's people who hate the Savior, people who hate Him. We are to love them. And the only way we can love them is by laying down our lives for them. That was interesting. I'd never thought about that scripture in that light. Go ahead. Now, this is the scripture Jesus' last commission in Acts chapter 1. Listen to this, please. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." He didn't say, "Maybe you will take a choice. If you want to, you can." He said, "You will be my witnesses." And you know what the word witness there is? It is from the Greek word, somebody said it, martyr. It's from the Greek word martyreo, which means a martyr. You will lay down your life, either physically or in giving yourself, in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice that he says, "and there." He does not say, "then." Many of us believe it's then. After we have reached Jerusalem, then we can reach our Judea, then we can reach Samaria, then we can reach the ends of the earth. Jesus said, "and." It means we're supposed to be involved in that all at the same time. Now, let me ask you, here we go. I'm a teacher, I expect participation. Where is your Jerusalem? Right here. Right here. Jesus said you will reach Jerusalem. You have to start where you are and reach. Jerusalem is people who are like you. Same culture. The people who think like you do, act like you do, have the same explanation of life as you do. Jesus says you'll be my witness there. But listen, then he says, and Judea. Now, I just heard Nellis told me last night that the people up in the north, in Joburg, Pretoria, are different than you down here. Is that right? Oh, here's one who says, no. But I have a lot of other heads going, yes. You know, that's true in my country. I live in Texas, way in the south. And we talk about the Northerners, Yankees, you know, they are very different in their way of thinking. It is the same culture, but there are differences. And he said, don't forget people who have differences. They are still your people, but they are different than you are. And Judea, that is like your state, your country. But then he says a very shocking word. Now, I really believe the disciples who heard this probably could have handled it if Jesus had said this. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and the ends of the earth. They could have gone, okay. Okay. But you know what Jesus said next? And Samaria. Now, who knows what the Jews thought of the Samaritans? They didn't accept them. They hated the Samaritans. Yes, they were half-breeds. They were people who had defiled the temple. They did not like the Samaritans. You know what I find? Every culture has a Samaria. You have those people that your culture makes fun of, that you don't like, that are those people that you would, it's okay, you know, if they don't hear the gospel. I remember teaching this one time when I was in Armenia. Kat mentioned Armenia. And I got to this part and I was really dwelling on Samaria. I kept saying, where is your Samaria? And there was quiet. And I described it a bit more. Come on, who are your Samaritans? People you don't like. People you make fun of. And finally, one little voice came out and said, the Turks. The Turks. And if you know the history of Armenia, know that the Turkish people tried to kill the Armenians in the early 1900s. And they hate the Turks. And I said, that's your Samaria. Those are the people that God would say to you, and the Turks. I believe God wants us to reach those people that we don't particularly care for. I had one of the Armenians say to me, most Armenians would be quite happy if the Turks would all go to hell. I said, well, that is your Samaria. Now, I can report to you good news. That church is now reaching, that church of Armenians is now reaching Turkish people. Isn't that good? But then Jesus said, look at me. He said, start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, not a big step, same culture. Go to Samaria, whoa, different culture, we don't like them. Then he said, and to the ends of the earth. That is a far stretch. Those are people who are so different than you, you can't imagine how they think. And he says, you will be my witnesses to them too. I want you to understand that I need you to just live out a witness. You know, I love the fact that he said, you will be my witness. He did not say, you will be my preacher. Do you know that? You will just be my witness. If you're a witness to an accident, what do? The police come and say, will you give your witness? What does that mean? Just tell what you saw, what you experienced. If you have experienced Jesus, you will be my witness. And you can be that all the way to the ends of the earth. Let me tell you, there are cultures to the ends of the earth that are people who are so different than you are, who have never heard about the name Jesus. And he says, you will be my witnesses to them as well. Now, let me tell you very quickly who those people are. Those people are in five major religious blocks. You can kind of think of them this way. The acronym for it is THUMB, the word THUMB. If you can remember THUMB, you can remember who they are. Number one, T. They are tribal people. Tribal people is the T. The tribalists are primarily spiritists, people who worship spirits of trees, spirits of their ancestors. They believe in spirits. Those are T, the tribalists. H would be, anybody want to guess? Thank you. Hindus. The Hindus. Hindus, there are millions of them in the world. They believe and almost 500 million gods. There's a God for everything. Now, can you imagine trying to appease 500 million gods? The bondage of that is unbelievable. Hindus, primarily found in India, but not exclusively, because God's moving them into our world too, so we can reach them. THU. The U stands for the unreligious people. That is the nations that are atheists. For instance, China, North Korea, those countries that state publicly there is no God. Now, you know, even within those countries, there are people who do worship some kind of God, but they are unreligious in their basic background. THUM. Anybody want to guess the M's? You should guess that one, the Muslims. The Muslims, almost over a billion Muslims in the world. And you know, those are, at least for my people, those are the those people that we are really afraid of. But you know what? They are people that God loves. Did you know that there are more Muslims coming to faith in Jesus today than in all of history put together? So don't believe all the propaganda that says that their numbers are growing. They are only growing numerically because of the number of children. They are not growing numerically because of converts, but they're trying very hard. And they are coming in your world, and they're here by God's purpose. Yesterday I was driving here with friends, and he told me where they live in Cape Town, that there is an entire section of the city that is Somalians. Now, if you were to go to Somalia, you would have a very difficult time. Somalia is a very difficult place to go and minister. But God's bringing Somalians to you, right here. But what have we got to do? We've got to open our eyes and see they're there and we can go out. And I have a friend who was a former Muslim. In missions terminology, we call them an MBB, Muslim Background Believer. And he said to me, Carolyn, if they come to your country, and I will assume your country is like my country, at least externally Christian, right? He said, you don't have to be afraid of talking to them. You can say to them, I understand you're Muslim, but you know, here, many of us are Christian. Would you like to know what that means? Because they don't know the truth. And many of them will be interested in, okay, tell me what that means. And you have opportunity to share with them who Jesus is. Muslims, the third group, the B of thumb. Anybody know who that is? The Buddhists. The Buddhists are a people who worship a philosophy. A philosophy that says, now can you imagine this? Your goal is to cease to exist. Oh, sad but true. Those are the groups that need Jesus the most. And we've got to be busy about taking the gospel to them. Now, from the first church to now, we've had a problem accepting and doing that. Did you know that? You know, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you want to know the opposite of obedience to that, look at Acts 8, verse 1. Listen to what this says. On that day, a great persecution broke out at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. You see, God cares about ministering to the hearts of people, about the good news getting out. And here's the truth. Listen to me. If the church is not voluntarily obedient, God knows how to get us out there. And God scattered the church through persecution. And throughout history, he has done that over and over. Because the church would just get comfortable with keeping the gospel to ourselves. Now, I think one of the most interesting phrases in all that verse says this. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, who was the Great Commission given to? The apostles. Who were the ones that were the only ones who didn't go? The apostles. Dear Jesus, it took those guys a long time to get it. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? He is. He is waiting for us to understand the importance of what he is saying. But listen, if we are not faithful to Acts 1 verse 8, to go and be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, he is perfectly capable of scattering us to the ends of the earth. And he does that because he cares about his kingdom. Let me give you a principle. God cares about your extending his kingdom far more than he cares about your comfort. Did you know that? So often in the comfortable lives that we lead, we think God cares about my comfort. Listen, he cares about His kingdom. Now that doesn't mean He doesn't care about you. He does. But listen, it is His kingdom that He is about extending. Go ahead. How are we doing, Pastor? Okay. It is too small a thing for us to reach our own. He calls us to greater steps of faith and obedience. He calls us to greater steps of faith and obedience. Listen, He has shown me this in my own life. I spent the first 9 years of my life in Germany, ministering with a group ministering to alcoholics and drug addicts, prostitutes. And you know, the Lord showed me that He said, I appreciate your being obedient to me there. But when He called me out of that, He had me take a bigger step. And when I went to Ukraine, I thought, well, Lord, this is it. Then He called me out and said, nope, I've got something bigger. I believe every step of obedience that you take for the Lord wants to say, I appreciate my son or my daughter. I appreciate your obedience to me. And I rejoice over that. But you're not finished. And listen, I don't care how old you are. You are not finished. Till the day that you draw your last breath, you are not finished. I wish my mom was here with me. My mom is 88. She was called to street ministry, to homeless people and to jails. And she's been doing that for 54 years. And she's still going strong. And she said, Carolyn, God asks us to retire when we go to heaven and not before. And boy, she preaches that message. Get out there and do what God has called you to do. I believe God wants us to be out there. And she says to me, Carolyn, I'm so glad God sent you back because my vision was too small. Because my vision was for the people right here. And she has realized her vision needs to stretch to the ends of the earth. Yes. God wants us to take greater steps of faith and obedience to see it is out there farther and farther until we finish the job. Go ahead. He called us to be a light to those who haven't heard all the way to the ends of the earth. Now, the ends of the earth are just people who don't know Jesus. It may be physical distance, but it may not be. It may be just the people who are down the street from you, who are Muslim, who are Hindu, who are from some people group who have never heard the good news. Those are the ends of the earth that He wants us to reach. He wants us to take chances. And you know, I got to tell you something. It's going to be risky and it's going to be scary. And it may be unsafe. Did you know God didn't say go into all the world as long as you are safe? He just said, go. And throughout history, it has been the blood of the martyrs who have won that prize. Do I have time to share a story? In the 10th century, about the 900s, the first missionary was called by God to go to the Muslims. He was a Spaniard, and he went to Algeria. They laughed at him. They refused to support him and encourage him. And they said, you will never live. Sure enough, in less than two years, he was killed. And the church said, we told him so. It would do no good. God doesn't count that as such. You know what happened? In the 1990s, I think it was in the 1980s, a group of young people with Youth with a Mission were ministering in Algeria and felt that the Lord called them to go to a particular village. They were just going to villages and sharing with people. And when they got to this village, they shared about Jesus with the village elders. And you know what they said? In the last few days, everyone in our village has had a dream about that man. Everyone. Will you tell us about him? So they gathered the village and they shared about Jesus with this whole village. And in one day, an entire village of Muslim Algerians came to faith in Jesus. When they went back, they started looking about what that village was. Guess where that village was? The exact place that brother gave his life for taking the gospel. 1,000 years later, the fruit came forth. You know, what does the word say? 1,000 years with the Lord is but a day. So in a day, God brought forth fruit. Listen, God requires our obedience, not always our safety. But what cause is there for living your life better than the sake of the kingdom and seeing that extended? God is doing that today in amazing ways. And he's calling forth a people and a church that are going to be radical, that are going to be willing to take radical steps. And listen, I am not saying that God is calling all of you to go. What I am saying is God is calling all of you to be a part. Every single one of you to be a part of what he is doing to reach the ends of the earth. Go ahead. Who are these people that we are to reach? These are some of the people and what they look like. I wanted you to see their faces. Because though they may have on different clothes, though they may have different styles, I want you to look at their eyes. To me, the thing that you see in the eyes of the unreached is hopelessness. Is a sense of fatalism. There is no way I can change my life. There's no way anything can get better. Folks, the only way things can change is through the good news of Jesus. Through the gospel that comes and sets them free, just like he set you free. But what if you were in their place? What if you were a person who lived in a place that there was no church? There were no pastors. There was no one there to tell you the good news. How will you know? And listen, there are people who say, well, today there are people having dreams and visions. That is very true. But do you know nearly all of them require someone to come along and help them to understand what it meant? Just like that village, they had all had dreams about Jesus, but they didn't know what it meant until he sent messengers who helped to share with them. God is preparing the way for the church. Go to the next slide, please. God is preparing that. Listen to these verses on in chapter 49. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. God is going ahead of us, calling them, lifting up his banner. But it still requires a witness of people who are willing to go and tell them and show them through their lives who Jesus is. And God will do that. Go to the next one. This is the rest. What about my family and those we love? You know, how many of you have unsaved family? Oh, goodness. You know what? God cares about them too. He cares about them too. How are they going to be reached? How are they going to be reached if God calls you out? I want you to listen to the rest of that verse. I love this. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. I want to make you a guarantee. If you are obedient to God, God will reach your family. I'm telling you. Let me tell you my personal story. I have a brother who has always been a rebel. Anybody have a family like that? He was born a rebel. And he lived it out very well. He spent 3 years completely cut off from our family. The only time he ever spoke to my mom and dad, he cursed them out. Whoa, my mom and dad are the godliest people I know. That was just amazing. And I was in Germany at the time, and I think the Lord had me out of the way. Because, you know, my philosophy was I would have killed him and told God he died. just don't do that to mom and dad, you know. So God kept me out of the way. Well, guess what? I heard before I went back to the States that David had come back to the Lord, and I was skeptical because David had played a lot of games. The first Sunday I was there, I went to church, I walked in, and my brother and his wife were sitting there. I was shocked, didn't know they'd be there. They lived in another city, but they just happened to be visiting. I walked over and sat down next to him. I hadn't seen him in 3 years. And we just had a few minutes before the service started, so I talked to him. The first time in my life when the worship started, I had ever seen my brother worshiping God. I was shocked. I was shocked. After service, I said to him, David, why don't you and Debbie come home with me? Because Sundays in my parents' family was always family. My mom had a table. Mom and dad had a table that seated 16 people. Mom would cook a big meal, set the table, that as many family could come, and whoever wasn't family, they'd fill it up with people from the church. And I said, come on with me. And David looked at Debbie, and she said, it's your decision. So David said, yeah, I think it's time. So they came home with me. Now, my mom and dad went to another church, and I rushed home and started getting things ready, and I was praying, "Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus," because for the last 3 years, anytime anyone had seen David, it was not a good experience. And so mom and dad came home, and I told them, "David and Debbie are coming for lunch." And my mom smiled and looked at me and said, "I had a dream last night that he was here." My sister came in with and had her baby in her arms. When I told her, she almost dropped the baby. She was so afraid, really. Well, David came and he sat down at the table. We all sat around the table. And it was interesting, only family there that day. And before we ate, he said, "Can I say something before we start?" And he said, "Mom, Dad, family, I want to ask your forgiveness for the way I have behaved myself." And he said, I just really want to ask you to forgive me." And my dad asked his forgiveness for anything they had done. Everybody around the table was crying, except my little niece, who was 18 months old, who was sitting in her high chair, waving at everybody. But I thought, "Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you allowed me to be here to see restoration." See, God cares about your family. If you are faithful to him, he will reach those you love. I tell you, that's what that verse says. They will bring your sons and your daughters if you are faithful to him. Know that he cares. Go ahead. He will help us reach our own. That is a guarantee. Do you know how many of you love the scripture, "I will never leave you or forsake you"? Love that scripture? You know the context of that? Context of that scripture is go into all the world and make disciples. That's when you find he will never leave you or forsake you, for sure. He will give us all that we need to accomplish and help us to reach our own. He will care for our families. He will take care. My dad passed away while I was gone, but he's told my pastor right before he died, "Tell Carolyn I love her and I'm glad she's there." He will care for your family. And when our vision is big enough, He does that all of that, especially when our vision is big enough to reach the ends of the earth. The bigger your vision is, the more he will minister to your needs. One of my favorite people that I ever worked with is Steve Weber. Our Ukrainians know Steve. He is the president of Mission Emmanuel in Ukraine, and which is CBN television ministry. He told me several times, "Carolyn, if somebody asks me to do a job, and it's not so big that I can't do it, I know it's not from God. Because if a job is bigger than I can do, I need God." And that's when God comes through. God wants us to give us such a big vision that you cannot do it, but he can do it through you. And he can cause people to sit back and say, "How can that strange woman from Texas who has problems walking go to all these countries? Because he is my strength. Because he has given me the vision," and he can give that to you as well. I just want to encourage you as a church. It's too small a thing just to reach your own. He wants you to have the exciting adventure of joining with him to reach the ends of the earth. And I will say that this week to my Ukrainian brothers and sisters as well. It is too small of a thing just to reach Ukraine. Do you know that? I will share with them. I don't want to share with you. I will share with them the word that God gave me in 1989 that God is living out right now. It's amazing. God wants you to get a vision that is so big you go, "Wait a minute, can't do it." And he says, "You're right. I can do it. I can do it through you." And as a church, get a big vision. Our church, about 200 people. We are in the poorest part of the city by choice because we believe that's who God called us to minister to. We have developed a missions vision in the church, and last year we gave $34,000 to missions. Impossible. But pastor says, not big enough. I believe God is calling us to give $100,000. Now, that is so insane. That is so insane. But that's our goal. That's our goal. Why? It's not all about money. It's about God stretching us to be a part of what he is doing. I want to invite you, come and join God in the big adventure. He is going to the ends of the earth. If you want to know where God's going, that's where he's going. If you want to go with God, come along. Come along. He's going to those hard places because He loves them. Let's pray. Father God, Father God. Oh, You have done so much for us. You have done so much for us. We want to be thankful, Lord. But Lord, help us, help us, help us. Not to even just sit around and be thankful for all You've done, but to be able and willing, Lord, to take steps out so that we can see You work through us and not just bless us. Every blessing You give us, Lord, has purpose. And our purpose, Lord, as a church, is to extend Your kingdom to the ends of the earth. So, Lord, let us not be content with small things of reaching our own people. Let us realize that You want us to reach those who have never heard the good news of the gospel. And You want us to be able to say, wow, God, how did You do that? Just through one little church, how did You do it? And You love to bring glory to Yourself. So, Lord, we want to be able to stand around the throne and say, look, Lord, at the multitude that is here, and we help to bring them. That is our legacy. Do it, Lord Jesus. I want to bless this church, Lord. I want to pray for this church. I pray especially for Pastor Yanni and for Kit, that You would give them such a big vision. And Lord, that You would give this church a vision that is so big that they're just overwhelmed with it. But they would have faith that accompanies that vision, that allows them to begin to take steps to reach it. So I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, for what You're going to do. We bless You, Lord, and we say, may Your kingdom come. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Begin in our lives, but Lord, don't stop there. Go to those dark places and bring Your light, Lord Jesus, so that Your kingdom comes there as well. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Go have a wonderful adventure with God.